Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Spinski. Today is the end of July, July 29th. I can't believe it. July 29th, the end of summer. Almost, okay? We have 1 month to go, and then the kids are back in school, and then Rosh Hashanah. And wow, things just roll along here so quickly. Things just go fast. I don't know if it's everybody's life. It's certainly mine. The kids are just getting bigger, and everything just happens so fast, and it's already, you know, already, if you judge here things by the fruit on the trees. Now, the almonds, they're the first to bloom, okay? And they're blooming, they're ready, they're edible. The grapes now are big and green. They're going to start to turn red, I think, in about 2 weeks. Figs, I think they're called. Figs, yeah. They're also edible. They've been edible for like a month. You know, you see all the fruit around you. It's and you know what's coming. You know Sukkot is coming. It's the coolest thing. We have a great show today, but the first section came out badly. It's a recorded conversation I had with Nechama Greenfield, who made Aliyah from Teaneck. I think she did it 5 weeks ago, and she is so great. She's telling us, you know, step by step, all the things she's had to do. And, you know, she started with getting her Tudat Zehut, her identity card. And then she had to get her health insurance. They bought a car. 10 days after she made Aliyah, she had severe pain on Shabbat and called 101, the ambulance service, Magen David Adom. And she was rushed to the hospital. She had a kidney stone. She said she had never had one in her life. And this happened on Shabbat. They didn't know what to do. And she got very good care. She went to the hospital in her town in Ashkelon. It's called Barzilai Hospital. And they handle all the trauma victims from the rocket attacks. That hospital is great. They are good. They have very good emergency care. And she got taken care of. So she had that experience, which is just, you know, pointing out when you come here and even before you come here, figure out the health insurance thing. Figure out where you're going to go and get that done quickly, because healthcare is important. That's not something you want to wait until there's an emergency to figure out. That's something you want to take care of before you get on the plane. So we will be right back, and she'll cover that again for you. Stick around.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. I recorded a conversation with Nechama Greenfield, the woman who moved to Ashkelon because I couldn't arrange to do a live conversation. But she's been here for, I think, 6 weeks, and she has such great information, and I wanted to share some of it with you. So I'm going to play our conversation and listen in, and It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. Here we go. Let's talk about what happens if something happens to you your first couple weeks here before the health insurance, or tell me what happens if something happens to you here medically.
All right. So for the excitement of our Greenfield family, God forbid, we should do things easily. I decided to give birth to a kidney stone 10 days out and none other on Shabbat. And Shabbos is, you know, we are Dati family, so So it just kind of made things a little bit more complicated, but doable. So we called Mada Mugandavadadam, and they came and took me and my husband, thank God, to the hospital.
Okay. You called 101. You called 101, right?
Correct.
Okay. How did you know that? How did you know what to do?
We had to ask people. We literally had to go up and down. My husband went, like, from apartment to apartment asking people in the building. So we were clueless. Although they say that that's not the normal route to do, depending on what coupon you have, they have, like, a phone number, and you're supposed to call that phone number. We're with Clalit, so we know their number. We call it, and you speak directly to a nurse. You can do that in any language. Well, I don't know if it's any, but they definitely have people in English. And the nurse will evaluate it, and she'll say, yes, this is what you do, and this is how you go, and then it's covered. For us, we kind of just lucked out because we didn't even have a card yet. Mm-hmm. We knew nothing. We were real green off the boat, zero knowledge. So we went via Mugandavadadam to the hospital, and they asked for my Tuta Zuhu multiple times. Mm-hmm. And the care was fantastic, but like I was explaining, my husband speaks Hebrew perfectly, fluently, and I, as a medical professional in the United States for so many years, I also believe this for anywhere, you always want an advocate with you. And now we're talking about not just needing a medical advocate, but also somebody who speaks the language and understands the language. So I was blessed with that because he was able to translate for me. You know, I need this, I need that, this is my history. Because there was nothing about me in any computer about my medical status anywhere.
Right, right.
So that helped tremendously. The care was fantastic. Okay. It was quick, it was efficient, and I have no complaints. It looks like they even have a system of pulling a number so that, you know, first come, first serve, and then the nurses triage you to determine who needs more care, you know, who needs care quicker versus not.
Oh, so you
came to the ambulance.
So yeah, yeah, I was going to say, you went to the emergency room, it sounds like.
Well, but I did, but I didn't walk in. I went to the ambulance, you know, I went via ambulance. So they take you much quicker that way.
Uh-huh.
And obviously the EMTs, they determine what your status is and what you need and how you need. So I was very, very impressed. Again, no complaints on that at all.
Okay,
and just very fortunate that on this strange situation, now we have, you know, we have a medical circumstance. And actually, everything has been covered except for a very small portion of the ambulance. And we figured that's fine. It's a tzedakah check, no problem. So
okay.
We paid for that.
Okay.
But they were incredibly lovely.
Uh-huh. Good.
Now, physicians, nurses, technicians, everybody was fantastic.
All right. So you went to Barzilai. So you're near a hospital. There's one right there in Ashkelon. It's good.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that was very helpful. But again, you know, the most important thing is get yourself situated with really the important things. And you never know, medical care-wise, if you're going to need something.
Okay.
I never had a kidney stone
right.
before. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was going to say. So you've been here. How long into your Aliyah, when did this happen? Was it you have been here 2 weeks? You had been here 5 weeks? What?
I think it was 10 days.
Oh, my God.
10 days.
Oh, my God. That's so soon. Holy God.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh.
A lot of fun. No. But We basically laughed. I mean, we're trying to laugh it off at this point. Because, look, it is what it is. I'm fine. The care is very good. Even the post-care, excuse me, has been excellent. Nothing bad to say.
Yeah.
It's worked out really well. And since then, we have a clinic near where we live, walking distance, that we can go to. And it just so happened that one of the physicians there lived in Australia for 1 year when she was 8 years old, and her English is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's very important. The only thing I did notice that was a bit upsetting to me is, coming from the United States, physicians are very much looked upon with a lot of respect and dignity, and here, physicians are just called by their first name.
Wait. By whom? By everyone? By other staff?
I think so. I mean, every doctor that we've seen, they've been called by their first name, and I've always said Dr. So-and-so, because I've always worked in the medical profession. I happen to be a doctor in physical therapy for 38 years, and I'm used to being called doctor. So when I said that, she said to me, well, I'll call you Dr. Greenfield, and I said, then I'll call you doctor by her name, because I said, you deserve the commode more than I do. You're a physician. It's a very, very difficult profession, and to me, physicians, everybody deserves a lot of kavod and respect, but a physician has your life in their hands. So to me, it's a no-brainer.
I've got to tell you, I've been here for 15 years, and I've never seen or heard anybody call the doctor by his first name.
Oh, I'm so glad. Maybe it's just Ashkelon. Maybe because it's a beach community that they're very, 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 like...
casual, yeah.
Very casual.
Yeah,
but either way, the care has been really remarkable.
Good.
And
good
based on my medical knowledge, very appropriate. And so I feel very comfortable and confident.
Good.
And it's been a great experience. So then after all of that fun, we went to a car dealer and we bought a brand new car.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cost of a brand new car was less money than buying a used car, because I'm a new Ole.
Right, and you get
There are some negatives associated with it. If you choose to sell the car within the first 4 years, you must sell it to another Ole Chadash. Or in addition to that, for the first 4 years, only you and your spouse can drive it. So, you know, there are some rules that maybe you wouldn't want if you have, you know, 20-something living with you. You might want to buy a used car. But for us, the price was right, and the car seemed fine. There was minimal haggling, and they threw in a lot of extras. And because there's no tax included, the price was doable. So, you know, it was in our range of what we thought was appropriate for us.
So tell us what you got.
We got, I call it a Hyundai, but they call it a Hyundai.
Yes.
A Hyundai.
Yes.
Venue. It's what I would call a small car. They call it a mid-size car here, but it's a small car. It's a little crossover, and it meets the needs of what we have to get up and around and be able to see people and go places that are kind of off the beaten track.
Is it like a Corolla?
No, it's a crossover, so it's a little higher up.
Oh, crossover, like a high, almost like a Range Rover type of thing. Okay.
Yeah, only much smaller than a Range Rover. It just means it has bigger wheels. I think it has like 19-inch wheels or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
To me, it's just wheelwood. I don't care about cars. I just want something reliable and dependable. The other thing that I think is really important, get a RevCov.
Let's explain what that is.
A RevCov is a card that you need with your picture on it so that you can take buses all over the country, because transportation here is so easy via bus. And there's also a ton of apps that you need on your phone, like for RevCov and for MoveIt, for finding out what bus, when, where, how.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even pay with MoveIt using your credit card once you get on a bus.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
The other thing you need to do is you need to buddy up. You need to find somebody who made Aliyah within the last 3 months and become their buddy, and then promise you'll do the same thing and pay it forward, to have that person help you of where you need to go, how to set up your apps, how to set up your appointments, so that you've got everything that's really current, because things are constantly changing. And in addition to that, you you need to do, you need to pay it forward for the next people.
Yeah.
So when you go on all those Facebook groups of people making Aliyah, it could be ancient stuff or it could be new stuff. My recommendation is, again, Nefesh B'Nefesh. That's a no-brainer. And buddy up with somebody who within the last 3 months made Aliyah and just promise yourself you're going to do the same thing.
Give and give back. Give and help. Be helped and then help.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham, host of The Walter Bingham File. Look out for a very special, exclusive program coming soon here on Israel News Talk Radio with young people who have left their ultra-Orthodox families and lifestyle and speak frankly and openly with me about their reasons for entering the secular world. Do they believe in God? How has that change affected them? What is their relationship with their parents? And why do they deliberately eat ham sandwiches? That and much more in this searching investigation into their innermost souls. Don't miss it. Coming soon on The Walter Bingham File, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. I apologize for the sound quality of that interview. I'm trying a new device, and it works well sometimes, but it didn't that time. Nachama's great because she has her eyes open, and she's like so fresh and so prepared, and she's taking account of everything that she's going through. Some people get, you know, very, very caught up in the details, and they find it difficult and they find it exasperating. And, you know, Nechama's doing it the right way. She's like, this is what we got to do. We're taking this year to do it one step at a time. She came on an Olev flight. I think she came on an Aliyah flight, but there weren't so many passengers. Things are changing now. And all those people that applied to make Aliyah during the past year and a half, with the corona shutdowns and all that, now they're actually coming. And I was in touch with the Nefesh B'Nefesh office earlier today and asked them exactly how many people are coming. And they told me 1,000 Olim are coming in August. Now, I think the yearly amount has been 5,000. North America, just North American Olim. 1,000 in August are coming. That's a good number. And 40 group flights have happened this summer. 40. Now, we can say, what does group flight mean? 50 people on a group flight or 30 or 300? You know, we don't know. 40 group flights. I don't know exactly what that number means, but 15 of them are going to be in August. And that is a very good sign. That says people are coming. They've been waiting. They've been filing their papers and doing everything they need to do and moving along. So this show and my guests are only a very, very small sample of all those people out there that are in line to come. And I'm so happy, and I was so happy to get that news when I saw the amount of flights. It's great. It's great. And it's very encouraging. And all of you listening, I say this every week, but if you're on the fence, if you're not sure, if you're only looking at the difficulties, you know, overlook those difficulties, because once you're here, there are going to be a lot of people in the same boat as you, and you will band together and help each other. Nechama said something very important during the interview. She said, you know, you get help when you come, and then you're ready to help the next person. And in doing so, you're actually forming communities. You're actually forming friends. You're forming very important friendships, because these people you meet are these new friends that you're going to have forever. These are your friends that you made during Aliyah, when you were still fresh, when you weren't really Israeli yet. You know, our first year here, we spent in a kibbutz, and my good friend that year, is still a good friend. She comes to my bar mitzvahs. I go to her bar mitzvahs. And that was 15 years ago, maybe 16 years ago. And the parents that we had, we were, I say parents in quotes, we were assigned a couple, an older couple, an Israeli couple, to be our kibbutz parents. And we're still in touch with them also. Every Pesach, they call. We invite them to our bar mitzvahs. We've gone to their children's events and bar mitzvahs. These people, this couple is in their, I guess, late 70s. That first year, your first year in Israel, is kind of like a honeymoon period. And you're taking it slow and you're getting the lay of the land. And when I say that, I don't mean just learning the roads and learning your Tudat Zehut number. I mean, you're learning a new culture. And it's exciting. And it's great that people are doing it. I was so happy to get that news from Nefesh B'Nefesh. And I'm so happy when I see all the different Facebook groups and all the different WhatsApp chats and all the different energy that people are putting into this, because it is the right thing to do. It is way past time to do it. And you need to come here while you're able and while you're energetic and have the right attitude, because attitude is everything. I was speaking to someone recently who had been in Israel. She made Aliyah recently, I think, you know, beginning of the summer. But she told me she had lived here in the 90s and Israel had spit her out. And it was a funny thing to read, because I'm thinking, what do you mean spit you out? Well, you know, it's hard. It is not easy. And some people make it and some people don't. But I think it's really attitude and whatever circumstances you find yourself in. And this is anywhere in life. If you find yourself in a situation that's no good, that's untenable, change it. Pick yourself up and change it. You can. It's all attitude. It's funny. I was just at the pool, as you know. And last night I was guarding. There was a group. There are groups every single night. Some of these groups are families. And some of these groups are teens, a teen group, or a ladies group, or a men's group like that. Last night was a family group, and I knew the family, one of them, but it was his brothers and sisters and parents, and these kids, these boys, they're all swimming in their underwear, no shoes, peyote, wild, wild, and they're barbecuing, and the fire's totally out of control, super high, and they're drinking beer, and they were like, you know, kind of rough, you know, like hillbillies type. But these are religious Jews. And the pool was, you know, for half an hour for all the boys and then for half an hour for all the girls. And they were very strict about that, which I thought was very nice, very, very nice. And you saw like the older boys taking charge of the younger boys. And this is also very, very nice to see, no matter how rough and wild they seem. They do have that responsibility. And I don't say it well, but I it's moving to me to see that in religious families with large, you know, large amount of kids, the mom and the dad, they're just not involved. I mean, the kids take care of each other. I've seen this from the time I became religious, but to see it in such variety with the way they look and the way they dress, it's so different here. And today, during the ladies' time, there's a woman swimming, and she's a neighbor of mine. I've known her for years, an older woman, and she's very upright, you know, very, I think she's a social worker, and very clean home, beautiful home, everything in its place, and very, very respectable family. And the husband is a teacher for years. He retired last year. I think he taught maybe seventh grade, sixth grade, a rough. And older people, they're older people. And she just told me, how was the pool last night, Natalie? How did it go? And I was like, fine, you know, exhausting. They were wild, but, you know. And she said, oh, really? They said you were very strict. And I was like, how are you connected? And she told me that her kala, that's our kala, one of the girls is our kala, meaning her son married one of the women from last night. Now, this is unbelievable to me. And the woman swimming next to us couldn't believe it either. She said, I'm in shock. I'm in shock. Now, what does she mean? You'll see this when you move here. There are people who are one way, and their children are a total different way. These are upstanding people, very, very, as you would say, yeka. They're like very law abiding, very clean, very neat, very respectable people. And the kids are running around in their underwear and bare feet. And this is her grandchildren. That means her child, her son, married a girl, and they're living in some hill somewhere. She told me they're living in some hill off the derrick. There's no road where they live. Their kids drive tractors when they're 10 years old. And she's telling us this, and we're like, we can't believe it. It's just one generation, okay? One generation here. And you can change a whole story of a life. So all of you Olim, and I'm telling you this is the point of the story. All of you Olim who are just like me, just like I was 15 years ago, you're going to come here and your children are not going to be like you. They are not going to have the same experiences as you. Their school life is different. Their social life is different. Their aspirations are different. Their identity is different. The way they look at the world is very different than the way you do and you did. You will change a little bit, but they have a whole different set of experiences and a whole different way of life. And it's so amazing to see. It is amazing. They are going to be such strong people, such strong, proud Jews. I see this in my own children. I talk about them all the time, how they go off and they're going off on their own throughout Israel, and I don't need to worry. And, you know, they have made it. They are making it. They don't need me. I am an embarrassment to them. I hinder them. I have a burden to them. They fly here, and your children will too. And it is such a bracha to see. It is more, you know, that's all I need. To know that they're raised and they can take care of things, because they can, and your children will be able to too. It doesn't matter if they come older or younger; they will soar here. You just have to let them fail, let them try, let them fail. Don't protect them so much. Let them go. Let them go to school. We're going to be speaking to Aliza soon. She's going through this now. She came with kids who are a little bit older, and she's trying to get them up to speed in Hebrew. And you'll hear her, and she always tells us, I think they're sitting in the classroom not understanding. They're probably picking up more than she realizes. They're probably picking up all kinds of things. Body language is just as important as what comes out of your mouth. You need to be able to survive here and flourish and use whatever you can as an edge. And all you coming who don't have Hebrew, you're going to use your English. You're going to use your body language. You're going to use your intelligence, your social intelligence. I do. I pretend I don't understand Hebrew sometimes. It works. Let them feel dumb. Let me speak in English to them and let them not understand. Let them see how it feels. Let them feel weak. Let them be at a disadvantage. You can use it. It's a bargaining chip. You have more than you know when you come here. You're strong. And if you're coming here and making a life change, those Israelis, they couldn't do the same thing. You're strong. You're coming here. You're opening a teak. You're going to Nefesh B'Nefesh. You're changing your life no matter where you are in your life. Sooner or later, you're going to be stronger for it. You're going to grow, and you're going to be stronger. We'll be right back.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Local Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. Joining us for this last segment is Aliza Bracha from Pardes Chana, who's been here. She's just yelling at me because I can't remember how long she's been here. 5 months, 5.5 months. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you came here before Pesach, right before Pesach, I think. Or Purim.
Yes, March 1st.
Okay. Okay. So this is your first summer in Israel.
This is our first summer here. And I love the sunshine. Everybody said it's going to be so hot. It's going to be awful. And I don't know, I'm from Philadelphia, and we had pretty hot, humid summers. We had rain and whatever, but for sure we had hot days. And I will say, it is definitely hot here, but it's not as humid as Philadelphia. I've been checking the reports, and it's a little bit different. It's more dry heat, even in Pardes Chana, and they say it's humid here. It's still not as humid as Philly, and we've been really enjoying it. It's been a little bit of a difficult summer because of all of the adjustments. So the kids were in this little summer program at first, and now they did a clay camp for a week and arts and crafts and all sorts of things. They came home with amazing projects. And now we have nothing until September 1st. Right. And so we're in a little bit of a panic mode of like, oh my gosh, what do we do with the kids?
Okay, stop right there, because that is so funny. That is so American, I think. I think it pretty much is American. I remember seeing people always scheduling and always doing camp. And I also grew up always in camp. And and Americans do that. American Jews do that. And yeah, Israel's different. Israel's different. And look at you panicking already. Nothing. You've probably never said that before.
8 weeks of camp, Natalie. The kids were always, I had two big kids. They were in overnight camp for 8 weeks. The little guys were in day camp for 8 weeks. We knew what was happening over the summer, you know, 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. Everybody's good. And then you come home like a regular school day, but it's camp. You have fun, you swim, and you do everything. And now the kids are home and they're like, so what do we do?
Right.
And I was like,
right.
Yeah, we're gonna work on that. So we did go to the beach yesterday. We went with cousins. We have one set of cousins here in Israel. And we went to the beach, and then we went out for pizza. And in Israel, there's like something going on all the time at whatever, you know, like outdoor shopping center or this. There's music. There's a festival. It's like, what day is it? Oh, I don't know. Oh, there's a thing. Yeah, just stick around. You'll see.
Right.
There's something
right.
happening. All these
right.
pop-up events.
Right.
So
pop-up events. That's good. That's good. And then on, but the difference is now they're on you. Now that's on you. Whereas
it's on
before
the schedule, yeah,
yeah,
and to keep
yeah.
them busy, we have yeah. look, we have pools in the neighborhood. A friend of ours has a pool, so we've been over there. And all the other kids also don't really have camp or anything. So some people travel to America or travel elsewhere, and everybody else who's here, we're all kind of in the same position. And I think a lot of people really take a significant amount of time off from work to be with the kids and to do trips. It seems like August is like the traveling month.
Absolutely.
So,
that's exactly what happens. All the Israelis, it's almost like they go 2 days here, 2 days there. It's never like a full 3 weeks or
right.
anything like that. But yeah, they take these day trips. They pack up everything. They jump in the car and they really go to find water. This is the big thing. Israelis go to find water, and it could be a
right.
big place like the Kinneret. It could be the beach. Or it could be some little stream. And any bit of water in Israel is going to be full of people right now. It's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very funny.
That's what seems to be the option, because it's either indoors or you have to be in water because it's so hot. It's not like,
right.
oh, now we'll go hiking. No, we don't hike in August. You could hike any other month, just not in
right.
August.
Right, right. And that's what people do. They load up their cars and they go and they stay with... You know, they stay with their parents, they stay with their children, they stay with other people. And this is my big problem with my children. And if you have relatives here, that's great. We don't really. And, you know, my kids have been complaining for years. Everyone's going away. Why aren't we going away? Let's go to a hotel. And I say to them, they are not staying in hotels. They are staying with their parents. They're staying with their sisters. They're staying with family. We don't have family. Get over it. You know, get married young. And then you'll do it. You're the first generation, and just deal. There's always a first. Stop complaining. You know what?
Right.
What do you want from me? I'm, you know, sorry. And they complain, right. And I feel horrible. I feel bad. And everyone's going. It looks like everyone's going somewhere exotic. I'm like, they're just going to water. They're just going to a pool. We have a pool. I'm there all day, and you can come too. That's all they're doing.
Right.
But they, you know, right. It looks
exciting. And I'm really not a fan of the water unless it's warm. And this week, the water, it feels like bath water. You go in, and you're waiting for, like, that cool, refreshing water. And it's lukewarm. And you go in, and you're like, oh. It's wet. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
So it's still nice. It's nice to be in the sunshine. I still love this. I don't get tired of it. Waking up to sunshine and blue skies on a daily basis. It's unbelievable. What's the weather?
Yeah.
Sunny and hot.
Nice.
What's the weather?
Yep.
Sunny and
yep.
hot.
Right.
Rain shoes? Nope. Rain jacket? Nope. Just sunny and hot. It's just.
Right.
It's a pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice. That's nice. Look, if you get up really early, like my big thing is getting up early. I get up every day at 5 because I walk the dog and I open the pool at 6. So I have really no choice. So getting up really, really early is something I'd like to do. And I would love the kids to do it with me because then they could go walk with me. We'll make coffee in the hills and you see the sheep and goats go out with the shepherd really early. And it's really cool. That's something you could do, you know, to beat the heat and something. So you won't wake up to sunny skies. You wake up to the moon. And it's
right.
awesome. It's awesome. And it's cool. And it's a little bit dewy and wet. And it's actually cold. Anyway.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't see that unless I stay up all night working because I'm working still American hours. But
uh-huh.
If I see 5 a.m., it just means I haven't gone to bed yet.
Oh, no.
But, no, it's fine. I enjoy the afternoon. I can walk in the evening, right? At about 7 o'clock, it starts to get a little bit cooler, and it's a little bit more comfortable to walk around. And
yeah.
I've gone for walks with my kids, and, you know, we do little one-on-one things. And it's a little bit different for us right now because usually the summer was our relief. It was like, okay, 2 big kids are going to overnight camp. 3 little guys are home. Okay, but it's a little bit of a lighter schedule. And right now, we have the reverse. We have 2 big kids going to boarding school during the year, and then they're home all summer.
Uh-huh. So on top of you.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're on top of us.
You.
But the good news is it's only the summer, right? It's not the whole year. So it's actually a better schedule. And I think that we're all happier just trying to be with each other, figure out how to make this work and get used to it. I think that having this time together is really special. And if everybody was just running around busy doing their own things, we might miss out on those moments because.
Of course you would. Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially with Aliyah, like we're still getting settled. So we still need to see each other often. We need to communicate. We need to figure out how to gracefully get through this time and how to deal with the struggles and the challenges and we still have enough time then to talk to each other and to work through it. So it's actually been a blessing. It hasn't been easy, I have to say. It has not been easy, but it's been a blessing.
Look, you have only, you say a month, but it goes by very quickly. And before you know it, they're going to be back
right,
in that routine. I know,
so fast,
but that's
though.
Also something. That's also.
I don't know, how do you take off August? And then you have to take off all of September. There's like
you,
7 days of school in September.
Yeah, you are in a different life now, and that's
right.
what people do. That's
right.
expected. It's totally normal. What do you mean? How do you take
right.
off? There's, it's not
right.
off. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's
right.
totally normal. Totally normal. It's yeah. What is not happening now is there's no tourism. That is
right.
is different. That is definitely different. But you're Israeli now, and you gotta you know.
There's Hebrew speakers everywhere. There's not the American tourists. I don't hear English on the streets. When I hear somebody speaking English, I turn around. I'm like, oh, there's an Anglo. Let
yeah,
me go say
right.
hello to somebody.
Right, right. And that is your best
Very
friend.
Different but everybody.
Well, did you come?
So polite.
I mean, pardon me?
Everybody's been so polite, all the Israelis, and I'm trying to figure out the train or the light rail. I went to Jerusalem.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, oh, which direction and which way? And they're like, well, where are you trying to go? Don't worry.
Nice.
Come on, I'll show you. Do you want me to help you with the car? Do you need this? And very,
Good.
Very sweet. But all in Hebrew.
Good.
Do you speak English? No. Do you speak English? No.
Ah, you're not speaking. So you, of course you're speaking in Hebrew. I mean, you speak
I'm
a little Hebrew.
Yeah, I have. It's getting better. It's getting better
yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a second ulpan. And we're going to see how that goes. And I'm determined to really figure this out and make a life.
I mean, you use it. You just got to use it, and you got to just imitate, right, and you'll be fine. And you know, it used to be like that was such a stumbling block, and so many people wouldn't come. And I hope that's changing, because I keep telling everyone, you know, come and just, you know, survive any way you can. You can also use, you know, body language. You know, people know a little bit of English. You can make it here. It'll be okay. You know, you're not so bad.
My husband, husband's Hebrew is basically non-existent, and he has a few words and a few things. He's using tons of hand gestures. We went to the butcher shop to buy something, and they want to know how many grams and this, and I'm helping to translate. And by the end, they're laughing and joking, and the guy's like, "Hey, Gershon," and the other employee's like, "What are you calling him by his first name now?" He's like, "Yeah, like I heard his wife say his name. Like we're friends now. Like everybody's buddies." And he doesn't even speak the language, but they're you know, he's communicating with his smiles and his energy, and
that's
really beautiful to see.
It is.
But you also, you really, like, for anybody who's thinking, like, I'm never going to learn Hebrew, I have friends who've been here, and they're like, yep, I don't speak Hebrew. I've been here for 15 years, still don't speak Hebrew, and I'm doing just fine. It works for me, and that's what I want, and I'm here. So if you don't want it and you still want to be here, you can still come. You don't, you don't have to have it. There's plenty
of
ways to
get around.
And Google Translate. Oh my gosh. I don't know how people did it without Google Translate. Between WhatsApp, being able to be on the messages and all in Hebrew, but Google Translate copying it and figuring out what everything means, it's so much easier than it would have been years ago.
We're out of time. You're 100% right. Thank you for coming on, and have a great summer. I'll check in with you again, hopefully before the end.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.